Welcome to Fabulous After 50, the podcast for women wanting to make the most of their lives. My name is Julie Kennedy, and I am your host. I am delighted to welcome Gisela Nomad to the show. Gisela studied business at the University of Nyenrode before dedicating her career to helping women through menopause and endorsing a healthy lifestyle full of vitality. I'm thrilled to have you, Gisela. Can you start with a brief summary of who you are, what you do, and why you do it?
Well, thank you for introducing me and having me in your podcast. I'm delighted to share what I know about menopause with your audience. And I started, as you said, in business, and I started my career in pharmaceutical industry. So that was with all regular thinking. And after that, I started living in Spain for about 10 years with my husband and children. And when I got back after those 10 years, I felt miserable. And I thought it was because of the international move I made. Right. And the GP sent me to a therapist and to, how do you say, a physiotherapy.
Physiotherapy, yeah.
Yes. And well, then a few years of searching started because I didn't understand myself anymore. And after a while, at 41, I had a diagnosis. Right. And I thought, well, how is this possible? I didn't understand it at all. And 2 years after that, I had my first hot flush. Oh. Well, here we are. With this short introduction,
wow.
I realized I was in menopause already at all those years. And then I started learning about it, reading about it, and I did a lot of courses to have all the holistic views about how to treat with health and illness. So now I'm dedicating all my time at work to women to help them understand more about menopause and give them solutions, because it can be years of searching what you need and to understand all of that. So I try to shorten the search period.
Gisela, that is fantastic. And I mean, I think there's nothing that I find more wonderful than people finding their passion and their mission in life through turning a bad experience that they've had into a positive experience to help others. You learned the hard way, as in it happened to you. I think what you say is also so very true. I mean, we're in Holland, right? I'm just saying for our audience, because it is very international. And you yourself are Dutch, Gisela, right?
Yes, I am.
Yeah. So, I mean, I was listening to the news not so long ago in Holland, where they were actually saying, and it was literally on national news, but like something, you know, breaking news, that indeed they are discovering that more and more women who are diagnosed with burnout are actually suffering from symptoms of menopause. So let's get into that today, that oh so important topic of menopause that seems to affect our lives in so many ways. There is for sure an awful lot of information available out there on the topic, but indeed, sometimes, you know, there's just so much that you don't really know what to listen to anymore. So what out of all of that information do we really need, and what can we do with it?
Okay, well, to start with you pointing out the burnout question, I really was burned out. But what I found out later was that the burnout, the stress didn't come from the outside world, but it came from inside.
Right.
And knowing that menopause is a phase, a period in life that can take for about 10 or even more years, with the body adapting every day to a new hormonal level, because the hormones are falling down. Well, that takes a lot of energy. So it was a burnout caused by inner stress.
As your body was trying to make sense of what was going on rather than an overdose of work or whatsoever.
Yes. Say with this that every burnout is from internal stress,
of course,
but it might be. So you asked me what is really important to know about all the information. Well, one of the things is that, yes, menopause can start at about 40 years old, even though people think it is in the end of the 40s, around 50. That's one thing that is important to keep in mind. And another thing is that with a healthy lifestyle really dedicated to the hormones, you can influence symptoms of menopause.
Now, that's very good to know. Because, I mean, I think the thing is that, first of all, in a way, there isn't enough attention given to this. I mean, when you say indeed 10 years, and it can even be longer, I suppose, you know, if you're taking the perimenopause into consideration. I mean, it's an awfully long time of our life to suffer and to be confused. And whether it's physical changes, whether it's weight, whether it's, you know, the skin and our moods in particular. It's an awful, you know, in a way, it seems a bit unfair. You know, we already have our periods all our life and then have the babies and then the menopause. But well, I suppose that's the price we pay to be goddesses, right?
Yes, I wouldn't
change it for the world. I wouldn't want to be a man. But anyway, it is a long period. And I think lots of women do feel very helpless, as you say. I mean, I know I do. I don't even seem to be through, and I'm 54 because they've actually decided to put me back on contraception to keep me safe. Well,
menopause officially is the last period you have. And you know it only a year after that last period, that it was the last time. But women are 40% of their lives post-menopausal. And that means that you don't have the fertile hormones anymore, estrogen and progestogen, if I say it correctly in English. And those two hormones do protect women from every kind of elderly diseases. And even though most bodies adapt to the new hormone level being almost zero, some bodies can't. So there are women that really suffer from hot flashes till they are 65 or even more.
Yeah.
Or they have bad articles.
In the articulations, you mean?
Or they feel like after a glass of red wine, their heart is going like boom, 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 boom. Or whatever food and drink can influence the body more than before menopause.
Right.
Stress, food, drinks, the way you move, what you eat, how you live, your lifestyle is having a lot of impact on a woman's body.
Now that we don't hear enough about, to be honest. Really? I mean, the doctors, I know they sort of say to me, oh, shall we patch? Shall we not patch? But nobody said anything about food. I mean, I've looked it up just because I've put on weight and I don't like that because I do a lot of yoga, for example, and it gets in my way, that weight. I don't want it. I don't feel good. But I've only been looking at what I eat in relation to, okay, you know, what is it better to eat, you know, when you're over 50, you know, so that I am obviously putting on weight, eating, you know, almost less than I used to before, but I have never seen anything there about it helping different symptoms or so. So can you give me an example of that?
Well, there is food that can trigger hot flushes or pain in the articulations, or that you don't have strength in your hands to open a jar of jelly, for example. Right. And very typical is, for example, many women drink a nice glass of white wine after a day of hard work.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that glass of white wine can trigger a hot flush.
Right.
As well as water with sparkling water. People think, oh, that's zero calories. That's true. But the acid of the bubbles make that something in your system does react, and it goes too deep to go into that specifically right now, but it triggers something and off you go with a hot flush.
Right.
Or having like a nice dinner and you drink a glass of wine and you have a sweet dessert, and the next morning you feel that your hands are not really moving. So food that triggers symptoms.
Gosh. I mean, alcohol I can certainly relate to, because I realize that I don't cope as well as I used to with alcohol.
No.
You know, I mean, after one glass of wine, I'm already really feeling it. I haven't had hot flushes. That's not really, oh, well, at night I have, but I have had them for over 15 years. So I'm not quite sure if they're the same sort. But I also feel a heart palpitation sometimes that I think like, hey, you know, why is my heart running away with me now? So, I mean, that's so definitely alcohol is something that we should avoid entirely, or?
Yeah, well, once you are aware of the effect,
right,
you can choose. I mean, I have almost completely, but I have these days that we have a nice dinner and then okay, now I will be in my bed with my heart pounding like boom, 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 boom. And it takes a few hours. And then
Well, then it calms down. But at least you know, so you're not worrying that you're having a heart attack or that you need to have your heart checked or whatsoever. You know, and it's then a calculated bad, as in you know. Yes. Like, for example, I was just busy thinking, you know, I've actually got a dinner party here tonight, and I'm thinking, well, I can imagine the face of my guests if I just sit there drinking water. But still, you know, you do still want to have a nice evening with friends without looking as if you're not being sociable. So okay, so alcohol is definitely something that we should pay attention to. What else do you recommend your clients?
Well, I don't have clients anymore, but I give trainings and I do recommend things on lifestyle. So that's true in a way. But to stop smoking, that's such a quick win, because smoking has been found to be related one-on-one on hot flashes.
Oh, that's interesting.
So it's the smoking, it's the alcohol you should avoid. And well, in general, I should say to women that it is very, very important to get to know the reactions of your body on food and drinks. Right. Because we become more sensitive when our estrogen and progesterone are almost zero. And as I recommend to everybody, why don't we eat like children between 0 and 10 years old? Because those girls don't have estrogen and progesterone either. And their parents, they make their lifestyle. So they eat one cookie when they come home at school, but they don't eat a whole bag of potato chips.
Right.
And women after menopause are, well, in a way, you could say it's like before puberty.
Right.
It's not really one-on-one, but if you think about it, in puberty, the hormones go up slowly during about 10 years. And then in menopause, they slow down in about 10 years. So why don't we change our lifestyle?
But then only one thing, of course, you're thinking about, I'm thinking in my head, okay, children 0 to 10. But then the first thing which comes to my mind is also sweeties. And I can imagine we're not really supposed to eat many sweeties, I think, either afterwards.
No.
That's a good way to look at it. And I also think that in a way, it helps to see it in that way. I like the balance image, because I haven't thought of it that way. Because, of course, it does take around 10 years for the hormones to go up. So it takes around 10 years for the hormones to go down. I mean, it's all beautiful harmony in nature there.
Yes.
So it is being aware and seeing different relationships of food. And we can be reacting to things in a different way than we did before. So apart from the hot flushes, what other symptoms of menopause can we avoid through this healthier lifestyle? So articulations, you said. So that's a stiffness in articulations.
Or the pain you feel and the stiffness as well. But it's not really always one-on-one. Oh, if I leave this, it becomes better, because our body is becoming older as well. And I don't know what it's called.
What's that? That's the saliva?
Yeah, the saliva, but all over your body, in your in the vagina, in the eyes,
the liquid part of
it's getting drier and drier, as you mentioned that you notice it in your skin.
Yeah,
but when you talked about the articulations, there's another part of the healthy lifestyle, which is moving, training. With the stiffness, it's simple. It's use it or lose. I don't have any other message for women. I'm really, really sorry. Do exercises.
Right.
I mean, exercises to have a flat belly, if you want one. It's not complaining, oh, I don't have a flat. Well, exercise.
Yeah.
And the stiffness as well. Do yoga, do stretches, and keep doing them. Because if not, in 10 years, you can't even look over your shoulder.
Right, right.
Passing a car.
Yeah. So I was actually reading a book about an astronaut, the Italian lady who went into space. There was also all that mention that actually jumping, we're not talking about huge jumps, but, you know, like running or dancing or that sort of thing, that it helps against osteoporosis, that you're actually working on your bone density. Now, that's something I didn't know.
And besides that, if you keep on using your muscles, well, one of the things in menopause is that the muscles shrink. They have less strength. And the muscle, they burn more calories than fat.
Right.
So what happens? Your muscles become smaller and the fat becomes more. So you gain even more weight. Well, if you think about it and you keep on training and you do exercises.
So really it's sort of thing, strength exercises, yeah?
Yes, it helps to burn more calories. It helps to feel better.
Right.
Also in your head, because a lot of hormones are produced that make you feel good. It helps in the prevention of osteoporosis. So a lot in the healthy lifestyle for women in menopause also give prevention of elderly diseases.
So like dementia, Alzheimer, that sort of thing?
And syndrome X, like the diabetes type 2, and also heart diseases and osteoporosis. I mean, the body gives the signals what is good and what isn't good for you. So once you learn to listen to your body, you can help the body to stay as healthy as possible.
So for that, you would need to almost like have a little booklet and track things, right? You know, to track days where you felt particularly good, track moments when you certainly don't feel good, or you have can that affect things like, I mean, I know lots of my friends have suffered from mood swings as well. If we're finding that we're having a lot of mood swings, so we're not talking about articulation stuff, we're not talking about, you know, the mucus things, so those I've understood, but also more the mental aspect of menopause. Yeah. How can we help that? Is there anything we can do regarding? So movement, you've just said, I mean, that is very true. It releases those happy hormones. But I know a lot of my friends are suffering from more sort of anger.
Yeah, anger. Well, our emotions are also a result of hormones. Hormone in menopause, one of the other hormones that's dropping down is oxytocin. And that's the hormone that makes us feel outgoing, you want to relate to people, but the dropping down of progesterone and the oxytocin, well, they induce that angerness, irritation, sometimes even panic attacks or being scared.
Yes.
And I know from traditional medicine, there are herbs that can help in that way, but for you need to go to a specialist who can help with that. And also food can help. And also accepting and knowing it is a phase in your life.
Yes.
I mean, if you say that, like angerness, do you remember in puberty?
Yeah.
A lot of pubers are angry and they are against everything and they fight.
True.
The same, well, a similar hormonal phase.
And that's interesting you say that, because we should also be more gentle on ourselves. So one of my children had a particular phase of being extremely angry and extremely, well, horrible, basically. I mean, I loved her to death then, but she was really hard to deal with. But I remember at one point thinking, okay, how am I going to cope with this? You know, I can't let myself be triggered the whole time. I mean, it's not helping the situation. It's just making me get angry that I've lost control as well. And then I sort of adopted this sort of, I don't even know if I should be saying this here, this sort of mental attitude that I was seeing her as temporarily disabled, let's say. You know, I was thinking, okay, it's not her fault. Just as I would be more patient towards a child who couldn't move around properly because he'd broken his leg, I was thinking, well, also be more patient with her because she can't really help it. She's going through that fuzzy zone, you know, while the brain's growing and et cetera, prefrontal cortex and all of that. So I was actually giving myself a mindset, thinking, well, I would be a lot more gentle instead of reacting, saying, well, how can she? And, you know, how can you put your moods on all of us like that? And so basically we should be doing the same with ourselves and be a little bit more kind on ourselves.
Because in a way, hormones tear us with them.
Yes, we're not going to stop the hormone. Some people do using a hormonal therapy. But if we're saying we want to do it the natural way, then indeed we need to embrace that part as well. But what I do like from our talk here is it's not just embracing it. It's knowing that there are specific things that we can do to help ourselves to reduce the symptoms and to feel a little bit in charge. Because same as adolescents get a little bit overwhelmed by these changes happening to them that they have no control over, so do we. I mean, I get very angry at this. I've always been very sporty and I think, well, you know, why is that not working anymore? You know, the same thing I always used to do.
Yes.
But no, you have to
adapt, exactly. And also you have to be aware of the individual difference in every woman because the natural state of your hormones and all the levels are not exactly the same in every woman. The lifestyle is different. So one woman does suffer from mood swings while the other says, well, I hardly notice anything of menopause. That's only about 20%.
Right.
About 80% do suffer some symptoms like, well, whatever we already discussed. And there are even more. So, yeah.
I have been realizing I do get some of these sort of bursts of anxiety, like panic attacks, where I'm thinking, hey, you know, what on earth is going on?
Yeah.
And I would like to be able to help myself in that. So we're saying, so herbal supplements could be something that could help, but to go and see a specialist in that area.
Yeah, I should do that. You can try something, at least because from traditional use, many cultures use herbs like the Ayurveda and the traditional Chinese medicine. And in our Western culture, we kind of forgot about herbs. And I am very happy that in the last, let's say, decade, there is a renewed attention and interest for the herbal treatments.
Yes.
But it's not, in the Netherlands, it's not a medicine, it's self-care. You have to know at least a bit what you're doing by reading, preparing, have a lot of information, and then try it temporarily, because many people think, okay, I use it, and then you don't think about it anymore, and you use it forever. They try it for a few weeks, like 4 to 6, and then stop and feel the difference.
There's a difference. Yeah, feel the difference, right.
So that's all part of what I'm saying, that I think that the best thing a woman in menopause can do is get to become friends with your own body. Get to know your body.
And that is something that we should work on anyway, right? It's that whole holistic approach. There's often that idea that when there's something wrong, the body is like a machine, it needs to be fixed. It's a very mechanical and segmented view. And it's really, as you were saying, it's being gentle with yourself and being grateful, you know, to go through that phase. You know, women wouldn't be able to have children if they didn't have A, the hormones in puberty, and B, the hormones going down in menopause. Mm-hmm. And it's just part of that wonderful, you know, goddess, as I was saying before, that we are, and that there is no point fighting it. I mean, it's not something that you can say, well, mind over matter, I shall pretend I don't have it today. You can decide to not give it maybe undue attention, nor blame everything on it. You know, it's also a bit easy to go around saying, true, right?
Yes.
I think lots of people do sort of hide a little bit behind it to excuse all sorts of also bad behaviors, maybe. So, I mean, you've given a lot of food for thought there. So it's definitely getting to know yourself better, being aware of how things affect you, you know, so things which affect you in a positive
way. Not only the body part, but also your emotional part, because it's a great phase to do some inner work, get to know your patterns, and which patterns do serve you and which ones you want to change.
Right.
That all comes more to the surface during menopause.
And that's also the advantage, it usually being around, let's say, the 50s then, is that we are perhaps that little bit wiser. We are perhaps that little bit more knowledgeable about who we are, and indeed then questioning those patterns and thinking that maybe they served us well in our 20s, but if they're not serving us well now, what can we change about it? So it is that gentle, friendly curiosity towards ourselves, both body and mind. And then also I liked the concrete things, the stretching on the one hand for the articulations, but also the weights and the real muscle training under the idea of use it or lose it, which is so very true, right? Also what you said about eating like a child, you know, to go back to the healthy lifestyle that for those of us who are mothers would then have chosen for our daughters are in between the age of 0 and 10, which means small amounts of things, no binging indeed on packets of crisps, etc. But, you know, if you feel like one little sweet something, then fine, allow yourself that one thing, but without it then becoming another mechanism or pattern to, you know, cope with other things. So less sugar, less carbs, I think you were saying as well, right?
That's another one. Well, I didn't really say it that way, but a carb is a sugar. But there are many more foods that can trigger symptoms. So it's not only the carbs and the sugar. As I mentioned, the sour. But yes. There are more.
Oh, acidity. Yeah. Didn't you say acidity, right? Yes. The acid that there was in bubbly water, for example. Yes. Now, that's something I hadn't thought of. But indeed, bubbly water sounds very healthy and is in itself. But the acidity in it is also likely to, can potentially trigger hot flushes. And alcohol, you were saying as well?
Yeah, alcohol and stop smoking.
Yeah, stop smoking. So, now, thankfully, there are less.
The main things are stop smoking and alcohol. That's, well, it's difficult, but it's kind of a basis. Get to know your body, like the emotions and the body as a body. I mean, how does your body respond to your intake? And the intake, there's one thing we didn't discuss today, but the intake is not only food and drinks. It's also stress.
It's also stress.
Who are you dealing with? Yeah. Who are your friends? What does give you energy? Who does give you stress? So the stress also can trigger symptoms of.
So it's also your environment. Your environment.
The body, use it or lose it.
But what you say about the environment, I'm actually glad you added that in there, because I do also think that it is incredibly important. So, and I'm not even just talking about the friends you have around you, because obviously you might not decide to just get rid of all the friends which stress you out, even though some of us do. Some of us
that's
do.
Not what I
know. But also things like the environment regarding news, social media.
Yes.
I mean, I have a few people in my environment who literally seem to be almost focusing on the negative. There is nothing horrible that happens in the world without them knowing it. And I'm thinking, well, how stressful does that make you? It's a choice that we make of which environment we want to live in.
Exactly.
And sure, we're not supposed to live in a bubble. And sure, we're supposed to be responsible citizens doing our duty. So I'm not saying, you know, shut it all out. But you can choose which out of all of that you let in. And I think that's something that we often forget, because nowadays we're so bombarded by this sort of information, by whichever media around us. It is our decision what we let in. And
that's one of the things about looking again with a fresh start on your own patterns.
Right.
This one might not serve you anymore, or at least take half of the time to get to watch the news. But there are other things, like having something stressful at work. How do you cope with it?
Right.
Well, maybe you used to run harder and have more balls in the air that you have to jiggle with.
Yeah.
But now you can decide, okay, what amount can I really bear, and how do I cope with it?
Yes.
And what do I really want to choose? And I don't say to quit everything, have a new life, because the menopause takes about 10 years. So take your time and review it. And just wait with the big decisions after you have become a little bit more stabilized again.
Right. So it's not when you're unstable that you should be making big decisions in life, because you might regret them afterwards. But indeed, as you were saying with your example of stress at work, it's not all black or white. It's not, you know, I leave the company. Maybe you can talk about it. Maybe the people around you or your superiors or whatever aren't aware that you're feeling that way about it. There are many ways you can express it. And again, it's recognizing how it's making you feel. And it's the same with social media. It's the same with everything. If it's making you feel great, optimistic, full of energy, and, you know, looking forward to going out there and being of service to others, great. If it's making you feel anxious and miserable, then don't.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for this. This has been really very thoughtful, and lots of information there and lots of aspects I hadn't thought of. I'm very grateful for companies in the Netherlands that they have somebody like you who goes in and trains groups. And it's wonderful, first of all, to hear that it's been taken seriously as well, you know, that it's actually considered something that an employer would want to do, is to make sure that the female staff is, you know, doing the best that they can with this situation. So thank you for that. So there's no point asking for your details for one-on-one consultation. I'm hoping you write a book one day, like that the rest of us can also learn from your knowledge. But thank you very much for having had the generosity of sharing all of that with us here today.
Okay, you're welcome. And I hope that a lot of women, did learn something, and that they can have, because that's the final part, I think, that helps, to be your own guide and do what feels good for you.
Exactly.
Without blaming others.
Yes. Exactly, without blaming others.
Get the tools you need and then take your steps. That's what I really wish for all the women. And I hope I have given them some tools today. And thank you for giving me the opportunity, Julie.
Thank you, Gisela. So for the rest of you out there, to be honest today, I don't think there's much that I need to add. Those were really very great last words from Gisela there. And it's now up to you to take responsibility, to embrace this phase of your life, you know, live it to the full. It's 10 years of your life. Enjoy it as well, doing what you can, learning, taking this opportunity to get to know yourself better, body, mind, the effect of food, the effect of stress, what can you influence? What can you do? And of course, yes, well, okay, we will also listen to the ones that we might not want to hear about, which is less alcohol, less sugar, less carbs. The moving more is probably good, but indeed, look after yourselves because we deserve it and we deserve to be the best that we can be. So take care out there and speak to you again next week.
Thank you for listening. Now it is up to you to make it happen. Join me next week for another dose of empowering vitamins as we navigate the marvelous roller coaster we call life. Subscribe and let me know what you think we should be talking about. Take care out there.